So we're in my place in New York City, and I'll tell you what, Ornstein.
Yes, sir.
The voice you hear on the other end, by the way, is legendary entertainment agent Jim Ornstein.
Yeah, pretty legendary. I would say that's true.
Welcome to the Hustle Podcast, and there's nothing like humility.
You know what? I've noticed your couch is very deep.
It is. As a matter of fact, it's, I mean, what are you about? 5'6"? 5'5"?
5'10 and a half. Don't give me that. Come on, man.
Dude, your feet right now are like dangling off. I gotta snap a photo of this. This is unbelievable. Why is it
I
doing
need a
that?
booster seat.
You do need a booster seat. So,
Are you practicing like karate right now or something? You got like a little bun on the top of your head.
that's a man bun.
All right.
What are your thoughts on the man bun?
I'm not a huge fan. Doesn't Adams, who got kicked in the nudies, have a man bun?
What, the guy that Draymond Green
Yeah,
kicked?
he has a man
Does he have a
bun.
man bun?
Kinda, yeah.
Well, you got it. First of all, if you're playing hoops, you got to keep the hair out of your face, like you roll out there with a hat on.
Well, maybe if he had the hair. Do you think he does that on his nudie newts? He's got a little bun down there. This is getting on the wrong
Oh,
track
well, I
here.
mean, this is
This
just
is this is terrible.
inappropriate right
This is
away.
terrible.
Seriously? Well, I'll say this. I'll say this. I never thought in my life that I would be a man bun guy. And it just sort of evolved to the point where my hair was really long and it kept getting in my face and it kept getting in my face. And I didn't have time for a haircut. And so originally just kind of just fun around the house. Just I'm talking like out of the shower. I'm in my pajamas, and I didn't want to put a hat on.
Yeah.
And I grabbed a rubber band and I put it up, and then right after that was a full-blown Euro night at my kid's school. So I said, what better than to get a skin-tight suit, right? And then rock the man bun. And that's when it made its debut. And I'll tell you what, there was just something about it in the way it felt. And I've ran with it. And it's now gotten to the point where I rocked it yesterday on MLB Network. And that was the second time. The first time was MLB Central, but it was more of a joke, right? And I actually wore that one on top of my head. So it looked more like a sort of samurai thing.
Like Bam Bam.
Yeah, it was exactly. It was like bam, and you could almost tell it was a joke. But this one yesterday, I pulled back, and I mean, I could go to my Twitter account for the hate mail that I got within the first 3 minutes of the show. So now, on that note,
What, did that come in an email from John Entz? The Twitter reaction?
no, it's amazing. I do even think actually this is the second podcast in a row that John Entz's name came up though.
Interesting.
Can you believe that?
No. President of Fox Sports Content.
Is that what he is right now? He's the guy, for those who
For
didn't listen to the
studio.
Burning Flan one, he's the guy that brought me over
Yeah.
to MLB Network.
Yeah.
And the story really that I told last week was that I, dude, Entz was, I would not have been at MLB Network without Entz, but yet once I got to MLB Network, I couldn't finish a show without getting an email, text message, or phone call from John Entz. And basically saying, this isn't the Eric Byrne show. You better tighten it up.
To which your response was, this is the Eric Byrne show?
Well, I mean, there's certain things in life, Ornstein, that I think that we want to say, and then there's other things that we actually do say. And if you remember correctly, because I think every one of those calls I got from him, I immediately called you. And your lovely advice, instead of, hey, this is the Eric Byrne show, the advice that you would give me was, hey, dude, just bite the bullet for now. Just get your feet wet. Be a yes guy. And I'm like, Ornstein, come on, man. You gotta be shitting me. I couldn't take it anymore. And eventually,
You've
I even
grown
told
up.
well, eventually I told John, I'm like, John, am I fired? And this was after I played Jerry Garcia on the air. he goes, nope, but you're pretty fucking close. Oh, my goodness.
Look at you now.
Well, so, yeah, so look at John Entz now. Good for John Entz.
Should we tell people how we know each other?
I don't know if anybody cares, but, you know, other than you just being the legendary, self-proclaimed, or I guess you just agreed with it, entertainment agent. Originally, Ornstein, why don't you go back to how we met?
Well, I called the I had seen you, was it on Fox or ESPN?
I think it was Fox.
I seen you on Fox during the postseason. Thought you were incredible, and called the PR guy for the Diamondbacks. Said, how do I get? Can you get a message to Eric Burns for me? This is Jim Ornstein from William Morris Agency. I'd love to talk to him. And he called me back, and he said, I'll pass it on to him. Next thing I know, I'm getting a call from Michael Sasson, the Sassinator, your player agent. And what it all came down to is at the time, I represented Kelly Ripa, and you hadn't made a decision yet on whether you'd sign with me. And you saw her talking about me on the air one day.
That was it. That's right.
And you said, if she's good enough for Jim Ornstein, then I am good enough for Jim Ornstein.
That was it.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I mean, yeah. Wow. And then what was it? A couple years after that, you got shit canned by Kelly Ripa.
Well, about 11 years after that. it happens over time.
Sure, it happens over time. So, I mean, look. You've represented some pretty big time clients here today, and I gotta imagine Kelly was towards the top of the list or at the top of the list.
One of them. One of them.
Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, do you put her up there? Is she at the same level as Kelly?
She's up there.
She, like, name wise, I think she's up there with Kelly.
Yeah,
but
financially not.
Not even close, right?
But I would say since then I've grown my list in the sports side of things. I mean, none bigger than Eric Burns, but you know, I don't really want to get into my client list.
No,
right now.
We don't need your
client
list.
We're going to bore the audience.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, let's do this.
What I'd like to get into, and I don't mean to hijack, you know, Hustle with Eric Burns podcast, but back when you had your show on XM, was it Sirius back in the day? It was before they emerged, right? So it was Sirius Radio.
No, it was.
Was it XM Sirius already?
I believe at the time it was just XM, and you got me the radio show. And yeah. Really, this podcast is just an extension of it. And the name of the radio show that we came up with was Hustle.
Yeah, and you had me come on and do a segment called to which I named the Orning Track,
a playoff of your last name,
Jim Ornstein.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm wondering is, since this is something fresh and new, I came up with a list of new possibilities, or if you're the boss, you decide we just stick with Orning Track. That'll
work
for me.
I like the Orning Track because it's obviously relevant towards baseball and it incorporates.
But I got some ones I want to run by you and your audience of thousands. Should I go with it?
Let the three or four listeners go ahead and maybe we could have them
call
get
in.
Some reaction. I mean, there's no call-ins on this thing, but they sure as heck could blast us on social media.
Here we go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Orn to be alive.
Oh, I like that.
Orn in the USA.
Okay.
Alonzo Orning.
Ooh. Alonzo Orning. Okay.
Be Orn Borg.
If it were a tennis podcast, I'd say yes. And well, I'm obviously my tennis skills are well documented, so I'm not gonna throw that one out yet.
Calla Ornication.
Okay.
Orn at the seams.
How much time did you spend on this?
It all just flowed. Orn on the cob.
Yeah, there you go.
A can of Orn. That's got a baseball connection.
I like the can of Orn.
And last but not least, Orning Label.
Nah.
Orning Track's better.
I think we're...
Orn on the cob? Can of Orn? What do you got?
I kind of like can of Orn.
Can of Orn. Like not of, you know. Well,
that's a can of corn, isn't it?
Yeah, can of Orn. Yeah. I would pronounce it like can of Orn.
Okay.
So
what about the two-minute orning? That was one that you texted me, and you didn't throw it out there?
Oh, yeah. How come that's the top of the list? Two-minute orning.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I dig the two-minute orning.
Sorry. I like that, too.
Hey, so...
What do you want to talk about?
But this is what I want to talk about. And this is, it's like, what sort of value could you bring to somebody who's going to listen to this podcast? And what I've basically come up with is you have a lot of interaction. And you, obviously the whole business side of the entertainment industry. And this was why I brought you on, even back on a baseball radio show on MLB Network Radio. But we would have sort of an entertainment segment, and we'd talk about what's going on in the news and everything. And I'm not so into the current events as I once was. I don't read People Magazine anymore.
Interesting.
So I be honest, I don't care.
Okay.
Wait, so the value that I see you bring in is your relationships and your interaction.
Okay.
With people, with clients, with whoever it is in the industry. That is interesting to me. So, I will start with this. This is the question number one to the two-minute warning.
Could I just interrupt really fast?
Yeah, of course.
So, my wife, as I was walking over, the great Jill Dobson.
Oh, she's fantastic.
So I was asking Jill, what's happening in pop culture? This is, you know, I'm going on the warning track, Eric Burns Hustle. This is before I knew you don't read People Magazine anymore, and that's not the purpose of me being on here. But she, the great wife she is, she just texted me. She said, she votes go with Orning track. She says, stick with what works.
Yeah, I do agree.
She also said, we need to demand that Hulu purchases the Rob Lowe, Fred Savage show from Fox that got canceled, The Grinder, because we love the show, and it just got canceled after one season.
Fred Savage was in it?
It's a fantastic
show. I like Fred Savage. I
mean, Savage and Lowe are hilarious together.
But I still like, when I think of Fred Savage, I think of 13-year-old Fred Savage.
Nah, he's hilarious. And they're brothers, and their dad on the show is Kelly Leak's dad from Bad News Bears Breaking Training.
No way.
When they're in the Astrodome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's phenomenal. So before we start, I just want to say, please, Hulu, Netflix, somebody, save The Grinder.
So that's the name of the show, The Grinder.
Yeah.
Most interesting client. First of all, can we talk about your wife for a second?
Yeah.
Because I can't figure out how you ever scored that.
I don't know.
I mean, she's beautiful. She's smart. She's funny. What did she see in you?
Well, I was older. I was established. I think she liked my Today's Man suit I was wearing that day. It looked kind of nice, but I got it for like $50 because that's all I could afford at the time. I had a brown suit on. I picked her up at the reception area. She wanted to meet with an agent.
Uh-huh.
She was pursuing a career in television. And I think the bar was set really low because she heard she was meeting with someone named Jim Ornstein, and she thought I was some like 65-year-old old man.
Uh-huh.
And I came to the top of the steps of the reception area, William Morris, and there was a glow about me. So I had set the bar really low. And then over walks, you know, me. So, and then I just stalked her. She moved back to Michigan, her first on-air job in East Lansing. And I called her, and I kept calling her. And I thought she was playing it cool because she would never call me. It's that she couldn't afford to keep her cell phone on because she had no money. But I don't know. I don't know what she saw in me.
Did you hit on all your potential clients?
No, but I was never going to sign her.
I mean, what a dirtbag.
Yeah, I was a dirtbag.
She walks in, this poor girl from Michigan, just trying to find her way.
Yeah.
And here you are. She shows up. You send her back to Michigan. You're like, I'm not going to sign you.
And I'm even not going to find you a job.
But you want to hook up?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a scum sucker.
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
And it still worked. I mean, that's
amazing.
That's the most incredible thing about this.
But here's the thing.
What?
My brother, who went to Michigan State, had graduated there like 6 years prior.
Your brother, Gus.
Gus.
Who was a quarterback.
Yeah, he was a quarterback there. I called him and I said, I met this girl. We hung out because she was here for 4 days in New York when we met. I said, I'm going to go visit her in East Lansing. I told her that I go there a lot with you because you still have friends there. You got to come with me for the weekend. He goes, Jim, you're out of your mind. I left there 6 years ago. I know no one there. I'm not coming so you can hook up with some girl. What am I going to do? I go, you got to do it. He goes, I'm not doing it. So I managed to get a planned weekend just to come visit her. And then she canceled on me like a week prior. And I said to myself, if she doesn't call me, I'm never calling her again. And then she called me and we went and we hit it off and that was it.
You went out to Michigan.
Yeah.
And now you got two kids.
Yeah. So let's get back to the business side of things. I know you got to get to work soon.
Sorry, yes, very, very soon. I want to know your most... I want to know...
not going to pick favorite clients.
Okay, no. The most interesting person that you've met in the industry. Intriguing. Somebody that moves the needle.
Cato Kaelin.
Did you really?
I met Cato Kaelin at Charlie Sheen's house in L.A.
First of all, how'd you get into Charlie Sheen's house in L.A.? Were you stalking then as well? Or
no.
Oh.
Man Caves, hosted at the time by Tony Siragusa, doing an episode there. And Cato brought together Goose and Charlie for the episode, and Charlie agreed to do it. It was about three years ago, maybe. I said, I got to fly out there to see this. And I was at Charlie's house, and I hung out with Cato, and I expected him to be the biggest idiot. He was hilarious, nicest guy, and I was a huge, huge follower of the O.J. trial because I was in law school at the time.
Did you watch that series on...
Yeah, the scripted one. Yeah, I thought it was cool.
I thought it was really good.
I thought it was cool. But that was if you go by intriguing, for me, that was very intriguing.
So what do you mean he was cool? Like, you're hanging out, he's funny, he's witty, he's cracking jokes.
Yeah, he was hilarious. He had no fear. We went to a restaurant, and he was, like, asking the waitresses out and just saying outlandish things and didn't give a hoot. And, you know, I thought it was hilarious. But, you know, I would say there's been plenty of fascinating people I've met, but that would be the most intriguing and entertaining. I know that sounds odd because I work with a lot of good people.
Yeah.
But that would be one that was intriguing. Do you want to talk about serious business stuff right now? Because I would like to add one thing about this is the most fascinating time in the business that you and I are in right now of television.
Sure.
Where I've never seen as much movement of talent
between networks. Yeah, I've noticed that.
As I've seen right now. ESPN gets rid of on NFL Countdown, Keyshawn Johnson, Chris Carter, Ray Lewis, possibly Tom Jackson. In a year, probably Chris Berman's done there. They bring in Matt Hasselbeck. Charles Woodson. Randy Moss probably coming in.
From Fox. Wasn't Randy with Fox?
From Fox.
So, I mean, where are the other guys going? They going to be jobless?
Could be jobless. They bought them out. I think Chris had a couple of years left in his deal. They bought him out. Ray Lewis, I think, had some time left. They bought him out. You know, they're not going to be starving, but I think a lot of them will try and get in at Fox. But Fox doesn't have a lot of they don't, you know,
why,
they don't have a lot of room.
Why did ESPN want a clean house like that? Now, what about Steve Young? He's fantastic.
Steve Young's great.
Is he back? Is he back?
I don't know. Trent Dilfer's gone.
No way!
Mm-hmm.
Trent Dilfer's gone?
Dilfer's gone.
From ESPN?
Yep.
How did that happen?
I don't represent him. From what I understand, he had an agent who was asking for outlandish money, and they said, no, here's what we can pay you. And he tried to get a job out there somewhere else.
Dude, I heard that dude. Now, it's just obviously through the grapevine. I heard he was making ridiculous money. He's like five large.
I don't know.
Wow. Is that on par with what other guys make? Now, he works a lot, but if, first of all, Trent Dilfer.
He's great.
He's beyond great. But Trent Dilfer's really, really good. The only time that it was probably a little much, and I think Trent even had fun with it, is the one game that he called. Mm-hmm. Right, because he's not used to doing the being the color commentator.
Yeah.
But his studio, like, there's nobody
that
does studio stuff in football as well as Trent Dilfer. It's not even close. And I'll tell you what, he could play by play or color commentating. He could easily figure that out. He just he just went on there and thought he was still in the studio.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's obviously a different ball game.
Oh yeah,
I can't believe he's gone. So this is like breaking news for me.
Oh yeah,
you're bringing something to the table
here. Yeah. Oh yeah,
wow.
Oh yeah,
the Van Gundy brothers.
Yes,
you've represented both of them.
I have in the past. Still tight with them. Don't represent Stan as a coach and a GM where he is with the Pistons. And Jeff, I rep till a few years ago, and we remain really good friends. He, in fact, after we didn't work together, still referred his brother to me at the time. Trying to think. I think Jeff's probably one of, if not the, one of the best color analysts on television.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah. He's unbelievable.
Is Scully your guy? Your play-by-play guy?
So I'm going to give you an idea of what happened last night. I was sitting in here, and it's like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Buddy of mine, Xavier.
Yeah.
He went to UCLA. It's out here. He's in the nightlife industry. Let's just say that. And he was having he's part of hosting a party, let's call it, at Bodega Negra on Monday nights. The place goes off. And I was to be his guest. So I was supposed to meet him over there at like 10:15. After that...
Is that the place in the Dream Hotel you took me
exactly.
to? Exactly. Yeah.
So then after that, it was Avenue. And Avenue just goes off on Mondays. And you look around...
What time was this?
Avenue was probably 12:30. That was after Bodega Negra. And I saw a... scantily clad woman step on glass and dance on glass, actually, and then lay on the glass, broken glass, that is. And then that was act number two, actually. And the first act was another woman who was dressed in a bra and panties.
Yeah.
And this is
in
the middle of a restaurant. Understand, bra and panties. Now, the shtick was that she had like this kind of like real loose sort of blanket thing over her. I don't know what you call it, like scarf, right? But it was really
like a
kind
pashmina.
Yeah, sounds right. I think it's a word you just made up. But who cares? So she's kind of dancing and doing this thing with it. And next thing you know, she rips it off. And trust me, it wasn't her body that you were looking at. It was the 12-foot boa constrictor snake that she had wrapped around her. And it looked like it had, dude. I was about to interject. I looked like at one point she had the air just waves blocked off. Like she was getting a little pale. I'm serious. Thing was wrapped around her neck.
Oh my God.
And she was playing off, and she kept sticking her hand in there, like to get this thing off. So then Avenue after that, I mean, it's like, dude, what do these people do for work? That it's a Monday night that you could jam this club completely full in New York City. One of the guys, I could tell you, because Xavier was
I'm so glad you didn't call me last night. I would have been crying.
You would have, dude, your days of doing stuff like this.
Don't do it anymore.
They passed you. And last time we were at Provocateur. That was it. That was your last run at New York City nightlife.
I was literally pissed off at you. Jim, one more shot, one more drink. I'm like, I'm leaving. And then you made fun of me to these girls. This is my loser friend. He's leaving. It's 10:30. I'm like, yeah, it's Tuesday night. I got two kids that are going to wake me up at 4.
No, then you remember what happened? We went in Provocateur with my boy, Pat, I think O'Connell was with us.
Oh, the dry ice?
Yeah.
Dude. Where you said I'm so cold?
It was freezing. We couldn't see it. It was for like, I don't know, 5 minutes?
5 minutes and you dropped like a deuce on the table. No, I don't mean dropped a deuce. I mean, geez, two grand, not a deuce out of your...
Oh, yeah, two... Well,
you didn't drop a deuce on the table. You dropped $2,000 to get us the table, I think. What else can we talk about?
That was my work yesterday. So but I was trying to get to my point here about are you a Vince Scully guy? And so I sat down, and so I knew I had just action and entertainment coming at me through the course of the night. And by the way, because this is basically ADHD podcast here, going back to, what do you call it? Avenue?
Yeah.
Saudi Prince.
Really?
Like, yeah, there's a Saudi Prince in there. And Xavier, he's like his host, so he works for Tao.
Wow.
And so when these guys come in, and that's basically, like, you're looking around, you're like, who's spending money in here? Wow. And they're obviously open, obviously doing really well, the place is obviously packed, but... You look around, it looks like a lot of promoters and a lot of women.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then there's this one Saudi prince that, I'm not kidding you, he had an entire stable of Victoria's Secret models surrounding him. That was it. And they were just standing there. He was just sitting there like bobbing
his head.
Now,
was he dressed like a Saudi prince?
Yeah. He had this – you should have seen the dirt squirrel he had, though. He had this – it's little lip luggage, dude. It was awful. I mean, I'm all about the mustache, dude. And but you almost have to, if you're gonna rock the little caterpillar like that, like, it's almost like a joke, right? But I didn't sense it was much of a joke for him. But he had a real nice suit on, and you know, just
pocket square.
Yeah, he had a pocket square. I'm so against pocket squares.
I came in late. I was against him. I just started with
him.
Now
you're wearing pocket
squares?
That's
even worse.
I mean, I get it. I got a man bun on top of my head, but it's the pocket. There's something about the pocket squares, dude.
Let me ask you one more question.
Can I go back to Vince Scully?
Yeah. You keep getting off it.
I know. It just happens.
If you're going to tell me to read Al Michaels' book again, I'm going to leave right now.
I can't believe you didn't enjoy that.
I couldn't get through the third chapter of that guy talking about how great he is. It's enough.
So Vince Scully at 10:15 at night, I got dialed in, and I poured myself this really nice vodka, local made. It's actually made out of like beets. Huh. Not kidding. So, and I had this drink, and I'm sitting here, and it's like Vince Scully, and it's Ann Kershaw, whose mother was Shaka, and father was this, was that, and the 1-1 pitch fouled off.
That's good.
Yeah, like I almost gave up a night out on the city in New York City to sit there, and I think, how many more times?
Wait, you were watching him on TV.
I was watching him on TV, yeah. The Dodgers game was on. I mean, you realize like 40, 50% of LA can't even watch Vince Scully? And I thought to myself, I said, I am here. This is what I do for a living. I love Vince Scully. I don't want to leave. Like, I have a really good night plan in front of me.
And why can't they watch Vince Scully? He's blacked out because no one goes to the games? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you're in the industry. Yeah, it's obviously above your pay grade, but it basically has to do with them. I think it's Time Warner is who holds it, but only like 40% of the LA area can get Time Warner.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
I'm
pretty sure that's how it goes. And
so he's your tops, right? Because he's my tops.
He's the best of the best.
Yeah.
He's the best I've ever heard.
Yeah. One final thing here that I'd like to end. I mean, you should end your own podcast, but I got to throw in a little more sort of pop culture entertainment.
Yeah, what do you got?
What are your feelings on many, many years later? Like, I have my own feelings on sequels and some you don't even dare make. Like, if they ever really make an old school sequel, I will leave the business because you don't touch perfection, right? What do you think about bringing back Ghostbusters but with a female cast? You know they're doing that, right?
I like that.
You do?
Yeah, and you know what? My kids just watched Ghostbusters for the first time, and my wife was saying that she could not remember it. being that bad.
Was it really bad?
Well, bad's not the right word. Like that inappropriate.
Oh.
I guess there were a couple scenes where she was like, that's the last time we'll ever shoot.
I don't remember that either.
I don't, right? It's Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? But so they're bringing it back with a female cast. I love that.
Melissa McCarthy.
She sounds hot. I mean, just her name.
Now, you don't know who she is?
Uh-uh.
She's heavy set on a lot of good comedies. She's on Mike and Molly, the show on, she was in like,
So is she not attractive?
I mean, she's fine. She's fine.
You know, sometimes it's like you get a milkshake and it's like a thick milkshake.
She's actually a cousin of,
thick could be good. It's a good thick milkshake.
She's a cousin of, Jenny McCarthy.
Okay.
But yeah, they're bringing it back. So you're in favor.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, like this is not moving the needle on my podcast, though.
Okay.
Like, I don't. But then it's.
Does Gall move the needle?
No, but he plays well with others.
Has Gall been on once?
Yeah, he's not making any like bold outrage. He's been on twice. The Gall Star Power Hour is actually what we came up with.
Do you have him under a guaranteed contract, like a pay or play? Guaranteed number of episodes?
We're still in negotiations. I think the minute that I can earn one peanut from this podcast, which I am 100% putting on your back, is your responsibility to go ahead and find some. Now, we're going on like episode number 10.
Yeah.
Ornstein, you realize that? And, there's one advertisement that I do at the end of this, and it's for Plate SF in San Francisco, which is a healthy food takeout option that my buddy that I grew up with started. And so obviously this is not any sort of paid advertisement or anything else. And as a matter of fact, and this is not a joke, I truly, like, you could tell, you can get an idea of how many people like click on. I'm not technologically savvy enough to figure out how many people have actually clicked on to my website and clicked onto the podcast.
Right.
Now through SoundCloud, there's like, okay, this has had 5 plays, 10 plays, whatever it is. And you can have a better idea. And I just, for the first time for my last one, I put it up on SoundCloud as well. Now, dude, I got to probably the over under on like listens for people at this point. I think it's 7.
That's fantastic.
I think it's 7. I really do.
What would it take to get to double digits?
We're getting close. I mean, that's 3 more. I wasn't a math major, so I was a history major, but I think 3 would be the number to get to 10.
You know what's awesome?
What?
7's my number because of John Elway.
Yeah.
But the fact that you would have me on for, like, I thought I was going to come in and do, like, my 2-minute running track. You just killed your podcast by having me on for, like, how long have we been on?
my wife's friend, Amanda Panda Can of Worms.
Yeah.
She's going to love this. Like, she wants to talk about anything. She, you know what she tells me all the time? Because she listens to every one of them.
Yeah.
And so now, this is what I'm going to do. Screw it. I'm going after individual listeners. So tell me, if you are listening to this, tell me. I mean, reach out to me, whatever. Twitter. Facebook, I'm not really good at responding. Instagram, like, hit me up and, like, what do you want to hear? And so she tells me, she wants to hear entertainment stuff. She wants to hear, like, me talk about my life.
Yeah.
She wants to hear me talk about your life, right? And whenever you get into, like, good hardcore baseball discussion, she says she turns it off.
Really?
Yeah. So she lives for the first, I don't know, she says, like, you know, usually 5-10 minutes when we're just bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then she's like, I just totally tune out. And then eventually I turn you off.
Huh. That's interesting. I mean, I'll come more prepared next time. I'm not going to talk about my inside business because there's privileges, but,
no, dude,
but I'll bring some stories.
You know, you need to bring something to the table. I mean, today was like a B-minus effort.
It wasn't great. I'll admit that, but I didn't know what to expect. I was going to come in with some.
I mean, you can't, the Fox moving around. So the fact that Trent Dilfer is not coming back to ESPN is a shock to me. I did not know that. So you did bring that new information.
Yeah.
You brought the information about the Ghostbusters and the three chicks. Can we, redo that? That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
We talked about your wife, who's a lot hotter than you, and
yeah,
just
right
overall. I think probably well-rounded, better person.
Probably.
Other than that.
I didn't really deliver.
Van Gundy's. I mean, you came up with the Orning track, but we already had the Orning track before.
I apologize.
Soft first Orning track.
Well, what episode will I be brought back for again? Would you predict? Obviously, before it becomes big, because you can't risk a sponsor.
I'm gonna have to keep.
I'm gonna have to keep this boring.
I'm gonna have to keep bringing you back on. So eventually, you'll sell the damn thing, because you're going to get sick and tired. Because once we get to double digits, once we get to 10, and we'll have the 10th listener party.
Yeah.
That's when we'll do it.
Okay.
That's when I'll bring you back on. I mean, geez, it's tough corralling you, though.
Yeah, it did take about 3 weeks. I called you and said, I'm coming now.
Dude, you're not the freaking president, bro. It's and then all of a sudden today, I got a car at 6 o'clock. It's 6:15. I got a meeting at 7. It's going to take an hour to get to Secaucus from here in the middle of rush hour.
I call you and text you like it's got to happen now.
Oh, that's a joke.
Yeah. Well, listen, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
It's been
fun.
It's been real.
I love the apartment.
Just not sure if it's been real fun.
Yeah, that's true. I love the apartment. You got a Jose Cruz Astros jersey, I'm guessing, up there.
You like that. What about the Oppo Taco jersey?
Right up there?
Is that one, yeah.
Oppo Taco, nice.
I mean, who else has a place like this in New York City?
Who's 30 Expos? Is that Raines?
Yeah, Tim Raines. That you're walking the street down below, and you look up into, like,
these
apartments. And the coolest thing about the apartments is, like, there's all these huge grid windows, right? And so it's, like, two stories of grid windows. And when you look up from the street, you could see it. And so when you look into people's apartments, and by the way, one of the most ridiculous Victoria's Secret models lives right below me with her husband. But you look into, say, her apartments, like, you know what you see? You see real expensive, fancy artwork. Exactly what you should see when you're looking at a nice, cool little, New York City place. It's not very big. It's 1,100 square feet,
that's
whatever.
That's fantastic.
But I will say this. You look up here into mine, and, you would have people that say are not baseball fans, is probably, what is this dude doing? I have baseball jerseys. And I just kind of goes with it, though. I mean, that's right.
But you know what's not fair?
What? I mean, I have my bike set up in here. You can see my bike set up on a trainer.
You're not being fair to yourself. This is a beautiful apartment.
Even though
it's 1,100 square feet, they should in an apartment like this, because part of it you could extend and make another bedroom on the second floor. They should measure this in cubic feet, because you got this living room with this, like, 20-foot ceiling.
It's a 20-foot ceiling. That's exactly what it is.
Did I just nail it right off the bat?
Congratulations.
So I was a math major for 2 years at Rutgers. I think they should do this apartment in cubic feet, out of all fairness. And I don't know what that would be, but 1,100 just sounds too small for square feet. Huh. So I appreciate you having me on.
What about the surfboard table? Do you like that?
Yeah, I love that. With the Yankee, what is that over there?
Well, it's a Yankee fist, number one sign.
Yeah.
It's real big.
Do you fit your beer? Is that one of those beer holder things?
No, I have two of those. Well, those are both Mets ones, though.
Okay.
Those are great, though. The fist, you remember, you and Sasson back
in
the day.
Yeah, I remember. What's up with Matt Harvey? Problems. What's up? What about Chris Archer?
I don't know about Archer. Archer,
I thought, was making a little. Harvey's
a good dude. Everything I've heard about Harvey, is a great dude. So I think Harvey will figure it out.
I think Archer figures it out.
He's a little off. Right? People around here want to mention the nightlife a little bit. Maybe that's gotten to him. But I can't say that. I do not know that. Well, I did not see him at Avenue last night. But then again, they were in Washington. So if I did, there would have been real problems.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there would have been.
Could you imagine that? I roll into Avenue and there's Matt Harvey. Now I will say this. The last time I was in Avenue, I did see Matt Harvey. and Noah Syndergaard. It was right after they lost, though, in the World Series.
I have no problem with that.
Nothing. Why would you? So long as he's not going out the night before he pitches or anything.
Wait, that night, the night you and I were at the game?
How about Johnny Manziel? Golly, that's turned into a sad story, huh?
Someone told me the other day, I will not name names, but he's a former coach.
Yeah.
Now a commentator from the state of Texas. I said, what do you think happens? Does he get another shot? He says, I don't think he gets another shot. I think his family's literally worried whether he can survive.
Yeah, no, his dad came out and said that publicly.
He did?
Yeah.
That's really sad.
He says his dad is on record as saying, like, if he does not get help, he's going to die.
And I'm sure they've intervened and nothing's working.
They said his friends, I just read recently, that was like today, that his friends tried to intervene and he just lost it on them. Because it's his party crew. Like, when you're party crew.
Well, like Bieber?
Dude, whoever.
LeBron?
Whoever he's with. Whoever he is with. And when your party crew is coming to you and being like, hey, it's time to chill out and get your shit back together. And you're ready to tell them off. That's when you know. Yeah, you've hit the deep end.
Yeah. I mean,
that is rock bottom. Then they show this picture of him.
Look really skinny, right?
Oh, man. Dude, he looked like he was on crack. He literally looked like he was on crack.
So he's not just drinking a lot.
No, dude, he's done, bro. Oh. He's done. It's sad. It's really, sad.
Putting all that aside, do you think he was eventually, ultimately, more than a solid backup in the NFL?
I felt like he could have been every bit as good as Doug Flutie, who had a real long, nice career in the NFL. If he stayed clean and did things the right way with his athletic ability and the way he was a modern-day Doug Flutie that would have kind of, gone in as like the backup every single year and he would end up trying. He had a couple really good games for the Browns last year. He had one where he threw for almost 400 yards. Like, this is – hopefully somebody can get to him.
Yeah.
And it's going to be – ultimately it's him going to have – he's going to obviously have to make the decision himself. But
let's talk about Tolnar for a second.
Dude.
I mean, that guy, Ryan Tolnar, nails the top two picks of the draft.
It's incredible.
Dude, that
guy. I will have Tolnar on this
you
podcast.
You got to have Tolnar on.
I will. What he did.
And he has Bortles in the league.
What he did was unprecedented. He started with Roethlisberger.
It's unbelievable.
But it's, you know what? He
Bortles is gonna wind up being one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Good, no doubt.
Good things happen to good people. He's one of the best
people I've
ever met in my entire life. Ryan Tolnar, his name. I think they're...
He and I hung out at your wedding by the fire pit outside.
Oh, he's great.
We had to run inside while your buddy held the kid and talked about pubic hair in the speech or something.
That's tea.
Yeah. But Tolnar seemed great. But, you got to have him on.
Yeah.
That guy's friggin' outstanding.
But so what he did for... the seven of you guys that are listening is he, and it's unprecedented. It's never happened before. He represented Jared Goff, who was the number one pick in the draft, and who went to Cal. Now, Tolnar went to Cal, was a backup quarterback there and whatnot. And then he represented the second highest rated quarterback in the draft, who nobody kind of knew where he was going to go. And no one knew where Goff was going to go.
Yeah.
But what he did is he locked down the two top quarterbacks, right? And so he's like, okay, I have the two, which is, it doesn't happen. Like, you don't get the two top quarterbacks.
One wouldn't want the same agent to have the other. It's like me representing the two talk show hosts on the same talk show. You don't do it. To the two lead actors in the same sitcom.
You don't do it. But that's how much faith that this guy had in him at that point.
Shows his skills and that he's a normal guy.
It's just totally normal.
But then...
What was the guy's name from North Dakota State? I'm trying to look it up right now. That's why all of a sudden I went radio silent over here. Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
So he gets Carson Wentz. Now, I think the way Carson Wentz looked at it was that he wasn't supposed to
be. He
was going to
be like the 20th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Tops.
And so he's like, screw it. If Jared Goff goes number one, Jared Goff goes number one.
Yeah.
But he's going to get picked where he gets picked. And he must have just fallen. Like, Tolner is – there's just those – some of those guys have it. And Ornstein, you got a little bit of it where you can relate to a lot of – you can relate to a lot of people. Now, Tolner's not nearly as corny as you are. He's just good for him. He busts his ass. He's got four kids. He's got an awesome family. His wife Mary.
Let me ask you a question, and you should ask him this when he comes on. And by the way, you got to go.
I know that.
Does it? Because I'm not. I will never do on field contracts. I have no desire to be a player agent. I can sell guys to make them more valuable when their deals are coming up. And I want to, I want to get some leverage from another place, whatever. When he has these two top quarterbacks, how influential was he, do you think, in his strategy in moving these guys to the top of the board?
I guarantee you he was influential.
It's unbelievable.
Now, ultimately, teams are going to make their decisions.
They're going to work him out.
But he knew, and I haven't talked to him about it yet. I was texting with him on draft night, which was pretty cool.
That's fantastic.
And I told him, I just want to say, dude, I'm proud of you, man. Like, it's incredible what you've been able to accomplish.
It's amazing.
And so...
Can you conference people into a podcast by phone?
And get him on? Dude, do you realize how ghetto this setup is that I have?
Nah, like, I don't think he can.
It's called... Bro, my setup right here, I can't edit this.
Yeah.
There's not... Like, we can't go back and change
it's
any...
It's pretty low level, but I love it.
Dude, it's the lowest level there is.
It's like bringing back the 2600. You know, Atari 2600?
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
The
Commodore 64. But I give your boy a lot of credit. I think he should be the next guy on.
So he figures out, right? He figures out what teams need quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And then he's going to, I guarantee you, do everything to facilitate those teams trying to trade up.
Yeah.
To go ahead to get to that position. That 1-2.
Yeah.
1-2.
It's unreal.
Congratulations to him. We have a thing that we do every summer. We usually do the same. So we usually go to Tahoe.
Yeah.
And we do like a couple day golf.
Is that his brother or his cousin who works with him?
It's actually Bruce is his cousin.
Okay.
Bruce is his cousin.
Okay.
So maybe his uncle.
Okay.
Either his cousin or uncle.
Okay.
So this year, we were just going back and forth the other day. And the first thing I said, I was like, hey, guys, let's get – one of our other buddies, Kenny Nerisso, chimed me. He's like, dude, let's figure this thing out. What are the dates? Yeah. July 22nd, 24th, who's in? Immediately.
Wait, July?
That's July.
Dude, that's during the tourney. I'm going to be out there.
Yeah, we're going to be there that weekend. We're taking a boat. We're taking a boat
To that par three.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
On the beach.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dude, if you're really lucky, I'll let you on my boat.
I got Billy Bush and Andre Iguodala playing in it this year.
Those are your two clients?
Playing in the tournament, yeah. Yeah.
Billy Bush. I mean, that we
new,
could,
new
we,
anchor
we,
of the Today Show.
How is he the new anchor of the Today Show?
I just moved him. Didn't you see it announced last week? Burge, you don't let me talk about entertainment anymore.
Dude, he's a new anchor? What about the Willie, what's his name?
He moved to a show on Sundays.
On Sundays? Dude, that guy was great.
He's fantastic.
And you get Billy Bush outed him?
He didn't out him. That already happened.
Wow, man.
Billy Bush.
You're moving and shaking, dude.
After many years on Access Hollywood.
Yeah.
Many people would say it's impossible to move from that type of show to a news division. But Billy is very, very skilled in many different ways.
You got to have some personality.
He could interview. He could do a serious sit-down interview. Or he could do a talk show.
I agree.
Or he could work. He could interview celebrities at the Kentucky Derby. He could go Olympics. He's starting in Rio.
All right, dude. I gotta go.
Yeah.
I mean,
listen.
I like Billy Bush. I'm all about Billy Bush.
So we will reconvene with Tolner.
I'm not NBC. You already got in the contract. You don't need to sell Billy Bush to me. Big Billy Bush.
I love your audience. I love you guys. And
we should get our audience's name. If you've listened to this podcast at any point, if you've made it to this spot, please do me a favor and let me know. And I'm going to set the OU, the over-under, at 7, and I'll let you know how many actual listeners.
And vote on the name of is it Orning Track? Is it Can of Orn? Is it the 2-Minute Orning?
Yeah, we could get a vote on that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right now, and I know the Orning Track has got a long track record that goes back several years. Kind of like it, a can of Orn.
Yeah, I'll do it.
All right. Jim Ornstein.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks for stopping by, buddy.
Thank you, my man.
All right, dude.
All right, buddy.
All right. Now I found what I was looking for. Ornstein, how much time do you waste each week trying to figure out what's for dinner? Any? Put your headset back on for a second. Because I want to talk about when your kid was a dick to my kid.
Oh, okay.
Over at your place.
Okay.
That was terrible, man.
He didn't nap that day. He was like making fun. He was like, Dad, I didn't understand what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, you know what he told him? What Colton said? He said, I don't understand because Colton doesn't talk very well. I told you this, but it's so cute. They want me to send them to a speech therapist. I told his teachers, I'm like, no, I'm going to cherish the way he sounds right now. Dad,
I love how my daughter talks.
Right? And you just leave it alone. It'll figure it out eventually, but it's hard for other kids, for his age especially, to understand him. And so your kid, he said, I don't understand you. I hate you. That's what he told him. So Colton tells me, he's like, Daddy, he said, that boy, I have fun, but he said he don't understand me and he hates me.
That's so sad. And
on the way to the Yankee game, I said, you know what? I said, let me tell you something, Colton. I said, next time he says that, no big deal. I said, you don't have to play with him. You don't even have to speak with him. I said, all you do, I said, take your fist, you clench it, and see these two knuckles right here. These are the two knuckles that you hit him in the face with. And then we can go home. How does that sound? He said, okay, Daddy, okay.
My son Shane happens to be the cutest kid in the world.
He's a cute kid.
He didn't take a nap that day, and he needs a 3-hour nap. He was like I've never seen him before. He really didn't want to play. He didn't want anyone using his toys.
No, he didn't want him using his toys. The poor kid. I had Colton here for like a week, and you're still, I don't have a lot of toys in here. So when he saw that toy basket that you guys brought out, he was in heaven. And then your kid was Hawkeyeing them, dude.
My daughter had a great time with Colton.
Oh, yeah. Colton will have some more great times with your daughter down the road, too, I'm imagining.
I imagine. I hope so.
Hey, again, how much time do you waste trying to figure out what's for dinner? Anytime? Does Joe cook?
No, we don't cook much, and we have like three places we order from. So not
okay,
very.
There you go. This would be perfect for you. So eventually it will be plate and why, okay. But right now it's not. It's just plate SF.
Okay.
I am going to save you some time by telling you about a new take-up spot called Plate. This is what I'm reading. Okay, Plate has made eating healthy easy with a daily menu featuring 9 mains and 12 sides. Think Argentine chimichurri steak, lemon dill salmon, or seasonal squash raviolis. The food is all pre-cooked and ready to plate. You simply order it, you pick it up, you heat it, done. That's how the Ornsteins like it. To save more time, order on their iPhone app or website and select their curbside pickup option so you don't even have to park. That's right. Exclusively for the podcast listeners. All 7 of you, at least that's my guess. Plate is offering a special 25% credit back for all first orders. Just mention my name, Burns, B-Y-R-N-E-S, in the special instructions during checkout. Start ordering Plate today by visiting PlateSF.com or downloading the app PlateSF and begin eating healthy the easy way. Plate, modern comfort.
Sounds great.
On the go.
I usually go with the City Diner, a nice matzo ball soup and a grilled cheese, which isn't too healthy. Or I go
matzo ball soup is not healthy?
No, it's fine.
Is that Jewish soup?
Yeah, but a lot of people like it.
What about the Jewish penicillin is what they would call it, right?
Would they?
Is that matzo ball soup?
I've never heard it called that.
My mom used to. Well, we had a Jewish family that lived.
Oh, because like chicken soup with like
the crevices, yeah. Lived up the street, and whenever we'd get sick,
the crevices.
Hmm. Fred Krefitz, Nikki Krefitz, Jason Krefitz, Josh Krefitz.
That's your question.
So Nikki would bring over the Jewish penicillin whenever my sister, myself, or my mom were sick.
That's great.
My dad, whatever.
You know what I noticed when you were reading that ad?
What? I'm trying to speed through it because late for work?
Your voice got deeper and sort of like Chris Berman, like out of breath a little bit when you were reading it.
No, it's because I was trying to hurry it.
To the point where you sounded like Christian Slater.
Really?
Really. If you played it back.
Well, I turned straight radio voice is what happened.
Sounded like Christian Slater at it from Heather's.
No, I felt like I was back in my KMBR days. Mm-hmm. So.
All right, well, good time. That sounds great. I would go curbside with those guys. Plate.
SF.
SF, yeah.
Plate NY, coming soon.
Yeah.
See you.
All right, thank you.
Later, dude.